This is a replay of the Tuesday night, October 28th WGN show. We started after the game around 11:15. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that is from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
Raleigh James, you have a couple hours to spend together, and my apologies for misleading you when I said both last night and on the web that we would be live at 10 o'clock Central. I forgot all about the game. Now, there is a game tomorrow night, but it does not affect us unless something very untoward happens. So it'll be over before we start, so it should be a full show tomorrow night. But for now, hey, we got over 2 hours to talk about whatever is on your mind. I was looking for things to discuss, or better yet, things to throw out for trivia. Now, the problem with that is that when it's a question I generate, I have to make sure that it's not searchable online, because you guys will do that. And that eliminates virtually everything these days. But I came across a number of things I had to share with you. Not right for trivia, but it is illegal to sell fake butter. Now, you might say, in Wisconsin, right? No, in Iowa. It is a misdemeanor in Iowa to either directly or indirectly sell oleo, margarine, or anything else as butter. And there was a point in time where laws like this apparently were common in a number of places. But in Iowa, you cannot print, write, put a poster, do a design, anything else that in any way would make the buyer believe it was butter. Yeah. Now, speaking of Wisconsin, and as I say, I assume it's absolutely illegal to do that there, but their laws are arcane. Yes, you get behind the cheddar curtain and you never know what to expect. And so it is that Chapter 81 of the Administrative Code of the Department of Agricultural, Trade, and Consumer Protection in Wisconsin, state-certified Munsters, Monterey Jacks, Colby's, and Cheddars must be, quote, highly pleasing, unquote. Oh, man. Yeah, is that an argument waiting to happen? Yes, who defines that? Well, not the law, that's for sure. As for Swiss's and other cheese that I couldn't pronounce if my life depended on it, they don't say anything about American cheese, and there are those who think that it's not a cheese and on. But anyway, Swiss's and other unpronounceable cheeses are required to have, quote, a pleasing and desirable characteristic. All right, so what would that be? Well, I guess if it's Swiss cheese, it has to taste like it's Swiss cheese. Again, who is determining that? Now, on California, they get into food, but in a different way. You can't eat a frog in a jumping contest. That's right. If the frog has been in a jumping contest, you cannot consume it. So it is legal to challenge frogs to compete against one another in a jumping contest. But then if you try to eat one of them, according to the state's Fish and Game Code, if such a frog dies or is killed, it must be disposed of and destroyed as soon as possible and may not be eaten or otherwise used for any purpose. Well, yeah, I laugh every time I see this because years ago, one of the radio stations I was working, we had a promotion and it involved a frog jumping contest. So I, genius that I am, decided that I'm gonna win. I'm going to get the biggest frog. See, it doesn't even occur to me that if the frog is big, the frog is probably lazy. But I ordered Creedmoor. I named him Creedmoor from Duke. Yeah, I had a friend who worked in the labs there, got me a medical frog, a big one. And yes, Creedmoor was huge, but he barely moved. So my hint to you is if you're in a frog jumping contest, in addition to not eating said frog in California, you also probably want to make it a small frog. Yeah, something little wiry. And there you go. In Washington State, it is illegal to x-ray your feet in a shoe store. And I laughed about this. Now, if you're old enough to remember, it's a wonder we all didn't die of cancer, because shoe stores had a gimmick. They all had that wonderful fluoroscope. Most famous for it was Sears across the country. And every shoe department in Sears, they had a fluoroscope. And you put the shoes on that you wanted to buy, and you put yourself on the fluoroscope, and then you'd see your bones in the shoes. Well, of course, to a kid, you know, in the 40s or 50s, to a kid, this was just worlds of fun. Yeah, I it's hard to believe that we didn't completely radiate ourselves, but apparently we managed to survive, well, some of us anyway, and managed to live long enough to see it outlawed. And actually today, I think it's outlawed in every state, but in Washington, they were the first. In 1971, they made it illegal. And now, like I say, all 50 states. So as an early adopter, Washington made it illegal in 1961. Yeah, but I'm telling you, it was not uncommon at all to have those fluoroscopes. And to a kid, yeah, you'd sit on it. Well, I don't need to draw it out, but you get the idea. Now, here we go with Indiana. Indiana is nothing if not odd when it comes to some of their laws, and you can only buy room temperature soda or water in the liquor stores. And it's not clear what the Hoosiers are trying to accomplish with this, but apparently there is a list of commodities that an Indiana liquor store is allowed to sell, and it includes uncooled and uniced charged water, carbonated soda, ginger ale, mineral water, grenadine, and flavoring extracts. But the cooler or iced versions are absolutely illegal. And it is interesting to see state to state what everybody tries to do in the name of saving you from the evil substance. And of course, Utah, you know that. You know when I say Utah, that something's coming here. And it is actually. Happy hour is illegal. And the reason for that is because in the state of Utah, it is not legal to sell alcohol at a discounted price at any time. So happy hour at the hotel bar is out of the picture. And so what you'll see, having lived there, is you'll see things like happy hour and other things of that nature, where they're discounting things that can be discounted according to the state of Utah, which clearly has a lot more time on their hands and concerns that other people just flat out don't. By the way, happy hour, it's the appetizers that are on sale. You could figure that for yourself, I guess. And so other restrictions include only one 1.5-ounce shot of alcohol per drink. Can't do a double. Unless you're drinking a cocktail, which can have 2.5 ounces of booze, as long as the extra ounce is less potent, and there's a maximum of 4% alcohol by weight or 5% alcohol by volume on draft beer, though higher octane brews are available in some stores. And statewide, by the way, last call. Hope you're not one who wants to be up all night, 1 a.m. All right, so it could be a lot worse, because it isn't that long ago that many states were dry. And even though I've yet to have my first drink of alcohol, I can tell you what I hate about dry states, and that's that invariably the restaurants are more expensive. And North Carolina was always that way. It's legal there now, but back in the day, you couldn't get liquor by the drink in North Carolina. You could bring a setup, you know, you bring the glass and all that, and then they could fill it basically. But you couldn't buy it that way. And so, as I say, what it did was took the prices of food and took them through the roof. That's when I realized, oh, I see, the alcohol is subsidizing the food prices. Yes, well, drink up and be happy. Then we have the Granite State, New Hampshire. And I'm not sure exactly what the deal is here, but apparently the law was passed in 1973. It is a violation of state law to collect seaweed at night. The punishment is unspecified, but the law stems from the practice of farmers of hauling seaweed ashore to help fertilize their cornfields, and the ban on nighttime seaweed harvesting gave other folks a chance to collect their own seaweed. Yeah. So there you have it. Now, John says, shut up. It's time to do this and do the news, and then time to talk to Linda and Stacy and Dave and Lisa and you two coming up right here on WGN Radio.
I've got tears in my ears from lying on my back in my bed while I cry over you. And the tears in my ears are off the beaten track since you said it's goodbye, we are through. So if I should get water on the brain, you will know you're the one who is to blame. I've got tears in my ears from lying on my back in my bed while I cry over you. I've got tears in my ears from lying on my back in my bed while I cry over you. I've been crying these tears and soaking in my sack since the day I found you were untrue.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Homer and Jethro and their finest. Yes, 1949 on RCA. Donna in Arlington Heights wanted to hear, I got tears in my ears. She remembered it from being a kid. And yeah, now it's all come back to her. All right, that'll teach her to request songs from then. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Linda is in Richland Park. How's it going, Linda?
Oh, it's going just fine. I'm turning my radio down. It might be too loud. I'd like to turn down the volume. I called last night, and for some reason or another, we got disconnected. I don't know what happened. So I was calling to ask you, did you guys ever get the pictures that I had when I flew to Florida?
Not yet, but we haven't been back to get the mail yet. I'll know Sunday.
Oh.
So on time.
All right, well, yeah. My grandson, he had the pictures on his cell phone.
Okay.
And I told him to send it, so it's not going to say my name.
Well, now, okay, all right. So then you're saying you emailed it, you didn't snail mail it?
No, he went Raleigh James.
Okay.
Whatever it was, .net or whatever, he did that.
Okay, right. All right, so then it may be here. Now, you don't know what his email address is for me to search it, so...
No, I just know his name is Hollis.
All right.
I don't know if you can tell, because he didn't do it on my phone. I didn't ever hear you say anything. I said knucklehead, that's what I called.
Let
me,
see what I can find out. All right. Yes, I've got him. All right. Hollis, I've got his...
yeah, that's my grandson. Yeah. That's one
all
of my
right.
grandsons.
Yes, no.
He's his son. Two pictures. You
yeah,
two?
No, I'm looking. It's a little video. Yeah, there you are. Absolutely. Sitting there in the plane. All right.
Right.
And looking
and
out the window.
You can probably hear it, too. Yeah,
yeah.
You can hear it. It was storming and lightning, so...
Wow.
That noise is when it was really, really going crazy.
Wow. Oh, yeah, it looks great. Absolutely great.
Well, I'm glad you got it, and I hope
yeah.
you guys enjoy it. So I just want to know that my son, he's only 21, so he do a lot of goofy stuff with his son. He play those video games all the time, so he must have done something wrong.
Well, good for him, I guess. But yeah, that's neat. Nothing like looking out the window at 10,000 feet. Always fun.
Oh yeah, we were more than 10,000. I think we were like 34,000 feet because we had to go up over the storm a couple
of course,
times.
Of course. But I mean, when these pictures were taken, I don't think you were at 34,000. But but it's nice, yeah. Good shots, and yeah, you can see some of the clouds below you, and some of the clouds above you, and all that. That's hot. Good.
Yes, yeah, so I got to go back again on the first. I got an appointment to be there.
Okay.
No, it's on the second of December, so I'm hoping it'll be good weather this time.
Yeah, good. Well, anything's better than right now as far as that goes.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But I'm just glad you guys had a good time on your little vacation.
Yeah, the weather was okay. Couldn't complain about that. But this is neat. Now, were you supposed to do any follow up in Chicago before you went back?
No.
Okay.
So you want me just to send my medical records for my eye doctor here.
All right.
So I'm gonna go again and see what he's talking about before, you know.
Yeah.
If I want to stay, keep going or whatever, because right now my eyes are like really, really, it's not getting any better. It's getting worse.
Well, sure it is. I can understand that. But that's great that you've got somewhere to go. And hopefully, when you go in December, they can lead you in a direction where you'll actually start getting some treatment on this.
Yeah, I really want to. So I'm trying. So if I don't, however my eyes go, I guess I'll just pick up an instrument and start playing it, maybe piano or something.
Well, sure. But if there's a way to eliminate the problem, I know you want to go for that.
Right, so they got all kind of eye diseases. My girlfriend, she got an eye condition where she says only one in every, 10,000 people have it. They don't even have enough people to study it in the country. So she says there's very few, and her eyes are getting dimmer and dimmer. She's only 56.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
I can't think of the name of it, but she says a rare eye disease that she has. So she keeps telling me, and I don't know. I told her, just keep looking up.
Yeah. Oh, well, absolutely. And, of course, things like retinitis pigmentosa, unfortunately, are very very common, so it's not that. But I'm trying to think of what else, Beckett's or Stargardt, or, you know, there are all sorts of things that damage the macula, for instance, and that would cause progressive loss of vision that way. And
I can't think of the name of it. I never even heard of the disease before, but she's all said about it. She's working, but she said every day it gets darker and darker, so I told her to call your show and mention the name of it.
Yeah, I'd be curious. Absolutely.
Yeah, because if she don't do that, I'm going to have her to spell it out.
Okay, yeah.
She pronounced it crazy.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you enjoyed your vacation, you and John.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to take another, at least take two a year.
Well, I don't know that we'll have time for that. I'll tell you what, not only did the 3 weeks we were away, did everything wait for me to come back, as you can imagine, but between both of the moves and everything else, and I didn't even mention that I've got to reformat about 36 computers, so I got my dance card is full for the next few months.
Well, you sound so refreshing. Yeah, vacation did you good.
I guess so. I didn't do much. Like I say, I consider cruise ships to be more of just transportation, so I stayed in the stateroom and just hung out online.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Just, you know, something different, something in your mind.
Yeah.
Get off of what you're doing, something fresh and something new. And John, I'm sure he enjoyed it, too.
Oh, he loved it. He absolutely loved it. Now, it's interesting. A lot of people ask, you know, are you seasick? The reality is that whatever that sensation is that you feel on the boat, I feel that off the boat as well. So I didn't notice any difference.
Oh, my God.
It's always like that, a little rocky. So it didn't bother me in the least. All right.
Okay, well, then. I'm not going to hold this phone up, but maybe you might could play something for me, some Boogaloo and his crew.
Oh, man. All right. Yeah. Cops and Robbers. Yeah.
Yeah. I love all his music. It's
yeah, he didn't do that much, unfortunately, but he was just so creative. And, yes, it may not be tonight since I lost an hour due to sports, but I will definitely do it this week.
Yeah, that would be good. And then also, if you could give me one by Roberta Flack.
All right.
First time ever I saw your face. I love this song.
Oh, that's your favorite? Okay. You got it.
All right, then.
All right, thanks.
Thank you
for having
me.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my favorite by her is that duet with Donny Hathaway, You Are My Heaven. Yeah, that's the one that floats my boat. So, 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. Stacy in Algonquin, welcome to WGN Radio.
Lee.
How are you?
Oh, good, good. We missed you.
Oh, thank you.
And John.
Thank you, thank you.
Glad to have you back.
Yeah. Well, good. What were you doing to keep yourself busy?
Well, let's... Oh, what did we... Oh, we... let's see. Every time somebody asked me, I... Well, let's see. We had... Oh, it's terrible. I forgot. No, I think we had... we had a party. We had... The fall party.
Good.
With a great singer. So that was fun.
Excellent.
And then we're going to have a Halloween party this coming Friday.
Good. Are you going to dress up?
Me? No. I'm just... I don't know. I don't think... I'll just wear... I have to think about it.
All right. Well, if all else fails, you can just put a sheet over your head and go as a ghost.
So, did you and John, you went to Hawaii?
Yep. The boat did go to Hawaii, and we were on it.
So, did you do any sightseeing?
Yeah, well, when we got to Honolulu, I made a beeline off that boat and checked into a hotel in Waikiki for the night. And... drove over, most people go back and because they've got their cabins and all that. I'm like, screw the boat, I'm staying. And so drive around seeing a bunch of stuff. And then there was something I'd wanted to see that I forgot about till I left. So, of course, there's always something. But saw all the sights and some of the sights. There's no way I'm like hiking to see the top of some volcano or something. No,
oh, yeah.
Thank you. So, and the one of the ports, Kona on the Big Island, that's a tender port. Now, what that means is the way that that dock is laid out, the cruise ship can't go all the way to the dock. It's too shallow. And so they anchor offshore, and then they put you in these little boats to take you to Kona. And I looked this and I thought, what, for 5 hours? What the hell do you think is at that place? Never mind. Let me just order room service. So that's what I did. Likewise, every cruise that is round trip from the USA has to make a stop in a foreign port. This is the law. And the reason the reason it's a law is because none of these cruise ships are U.S. registry. They're all registry like Bermuda or, Zimbabwe, anywhere, not here. And that allows them, of course, to hire without regard to our wages and all that. But so for that reason, they can't do a round trip unless they go to a foreign port. So the first thing that the boat does is it goes to Ensenada for 4 hours. And here again, I said to John, anything you want to see in Ensenada? Let me order room service. So... Honolulu and then Maui, and of course the traditional stop in Maui has been eclipsed because of the fire a couple of years ago, and everybody goes the other side. But the other side is interesting because there's the road to Hana, and it's picturesque. But I would have liked enough time to rent a car and drive it myself rather than be chauffeured, because we were with like six other people, which was six too many as far as I was concerned. But they don't do it individually, so we drove the road to Hana. And I did like the black sand beach. I was amazed at that.
Yeah.
And what amazed me wasn't the black sand. It was the way you walk on the rocks and it feels like you're walking on memory foam. So it's just...
We went to Hawaii years and years ago.
Where'd you go?
Yeah. Oh, actually, all the islands.
Okay.
We went to, the Big Island,
Big Island, you either went to Hilo or Kona. There's really no other choices.
Yeah, Kona. We stayed at the Royal Hawaiian.
Very nice.
And then went to, every time somebody asked me, every time somebody asked me, I always forget, but Maui.
Yeah, right, right. Sure. The usual suspects.
Yeah. And, by the volcanoes and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we took one of the boat cruises.
Right, an excursion, yes, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where you can see the fish and stuff, like when you look out over. Glass bottom boats.
Yeah, glass bottom boats. They do that at Kona, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
And,
well, good.
Well, that's great. That's great. Yeah. I mean, it was a long time ago.
Well, I guarantee you it hadn't changed, not much. I mean, as far as Honolulu, the traffic's gotten worse. But where hasn't the traffic gotten worse?
You know, did you see Don Ho?
No, I did not see Don Ho. But I used to have a friend who lived on the same block as Don Ho, but he's no longer with us. So that was his claim to fame in that neighborhood. So I don't know. Don Ho's still alive, I guess, but I don't know. You wouldn't know it by me.
No, that's good. That's good. I'm glad you and John had a wonderful vacation.
Right.
And we missed you very much.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, I don't plan to leave again anytime soon, but when John requested a cruise to Hawaii for his birthday, he never requests anything, so there was no way I was turning him down. It's like, if he said, I want a cruise to Antarctica, I'd be like, yep, get on the boat. Whatever he wanted. So yeah,
that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
As long as everything worked and...
Oh, no. As far as that goes, everything did not work, but that's another story. The Island Princess is an aging ship, to say the least. And the reason the Island Princess is still in the fleet is there's two ships that Princess has that are narrow enough to go through the locks at the Panama Canal.
Oh, okay.
And so they kind of refresh these things, but they don't get rid of them because they want to, like, after we docked and we disembarked, the next group came on and they went right through the locks. They're probably doing that as I speak. But so because of that, this ship is very long a tooth. And they've done a lot to update it, but there are things that just flat out do not work. And one of them is they have a medallion system that will open your room door. Well, of course, if you're in need of a handicap room, which we are, the deal is it's hands-free, automatic. Well, a full one-third of the time, it wouldn't open, just flat out wouldn't.
Oh, my gosh.
Right. Had to go downstairs and get somebody to come up. And, you know, at first they acted like we didn't know how to use the medallion, but then they started to see that it was happening to them too. But at one point they opened up one of the pieces of electronic equipment, for lack of a better word. And I looked at the wiring, a lot of which was not shielded, some of which was just held together with electrical tape. And I said, it's wonderful that we're floating, for God's sakes. You know, I mean, so now the good news is that in the process of investigating this, they accidentally disconnected our room speaker. And I was praise Jesus, this is the best thing that ever happened, because I didn't want to hear those announcements. And so that part was excellent. But we did not tell them the error of their ways. Now, maybe some other cruiser who got on after us did. But as far as we were concerned, blessed silence was a godsend.
As long as you and John had a great time and everything and you rested.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's wonderful to hear from you.
Great to have you back, Raleigh.
Well, thank you
and John.
We'll talk to you soon.
We're so glad you're back.
Oh, well, that's so
welcome
nice
back,
of you.
Welcome back, Raleigh.
Thank you. All right. Good deal.
Talk
thanks
to
for
you
calling.
Soon.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Bye.
Good to hear from Stacy. Now, we'll get to Lisa in Dundee. Dave is in Forest City. We got Eduardo in Tampa. Paul is in Iroquois. There is one line available for you. I'll try not to be too long-winded right here on WGN Radio.
I'd like to stay.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, well, Billy Bob thought he wanted to hear Shotgun Lover. I think he meant Shotgun Rider. But either way, 1980 on Capitol. This from the album The Jealous Kind. All right, we got another hour of your requests and your phone calls coming up right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Season changes scene and leafy shades of green go golden, red and brown, then withered, flutter down to clutter up the lawn. Another summer's gone, old winter's coming on. It's October, a bracing autumn breeze makes dances of the trees, and nipping at my nose, it pokes about my clothes for openings and rips, inside of which it slips its frosty fingertips. It's October. Octobers I have known, for colors they have shown in beautiful displays on Indian summer days.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yes, Oscar Brown Jr., it's October. It's actually relatively recent. Yes, not like his first stuff, 1960-61, but that was 1998 on Minor Music, and it's from that album, vinyl and CD, of course, Live Every Minute. So, and that was a request, and this is terrible because I don't remember who. I don't think it was Gail, who usually requests Oscar Brown Jr., but I forget. And yeah, I wrote down everything except that. All right, so it is all requests tonight. We got a couple more coming up. And yeah, I was going to play after that, actually, going to play something that I really like, which is The Season, O.C. Smith, because it sort of reminds me of that song. But we're going to forego that and just play your requests. All right, so let's talk to Lisa in Dundee. All right, Lisa, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hello, Raleigh. You were talking at the beginning of the show about things that are illegal in states.
And yeah.
I had just opened up my Snapple.
Uh-huh.
And the cap says, in the state of Arizona, it is illegal for donkeys to sleep in bathtubs.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting about those bottle caps, because they supposedly have like 2,600 statements or whatever. Most of them are false.
Well, and I come across the same ones quite often, but this one I had never heard before.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be surprised as far as that goes.
Yeah.
But that's assuming that a donkey would be near said bathtub. But
exactly.
Yeah, why not? And I have your Toussaint McCall request. It's going to be the last bumper I play tonight, so be listening for that.
I will be awake, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, every time I play that, I think about rewriting history, because, of course, that was his only real hit, as you know. He did a lot of things, but that was it. And that was 1967, and on Ron, which was one of Stan Lewis's labels in Shreveport. But if you've ever seen the movie Hairspray, which is...
Yeah, and I was watching that,
well,
and that's...
Yeah,
where the song came from.
Exactly, except Toussaint McCall did this in 1967, and in Hairspray it's set in 1962. So it's more like, oh, well, that's a 5-year difference.
But it is him in the movie, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. No, what I'm saying on it is that John Waters obviously liked it enough to rewrite history and set it in another time frame.
Well, John Waters did a few things.
Oh, well, yeah, we won't talk
questionable.
About right, exactly. We'll,
but,
we'll
but this
about
guy must have been from Baltimore then. Huh?
No, no, Toussaint McCall was from Shreveport.
Oh, I wonder, and, he must just have loved that song.
Yeah,
then.
That's what I'm saying, which does not surprise me.
You know.
Yeah, it does not surprise me at all. He was actually, Toussaint McCall was actually born in Monroe, which, home of KNOE. His daddy was a preacher. And a lot of people think, oh, Toussaint, this must be related to Alan Toussaint. No, not a chance. The deal with Toussaint is he's named after a Haitian activist who was Toussaint somebody or other. And I know that's terrible to say, but it was Toussaint somebody or other. I think Toussaint Louverture or something like that. But anyway, his daddy was the Reverend D.L. McCall, and that was at Seven Star Missionary Baptist Church. And Toussaint was one of 12 children.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And he made it till a couple of years ago he died. He was 84 years old, died in L.A. in 2023.
Any reason why that was his only hit?
He did a number of other things. So
he did.
Yes, he did. And, Nothing Takes the Place of You got to number 5 on the R&B charts. And there was an album, actually, and other things absolutely followed that. So it wasn't that there was a dearth of material. Obviously, they put the album Nothing Takes the Place of You out on Ron. But then, I guess it was 11 years later, they put another album out that did nothing. And he even did a Christmas album and all that. And on Saint, he did some stuff, but that Ron single, he did several things after, like I'll Do It For You or Step by Step, all on Ron, and just One Table Away. I'm trying to think of what else, Like Never Before, King for a Day, and all that.
Wow,
yeah, a lot of stuff. I'll try to find some of this stuff to play you more of it. But yeah, maybe some
because
King for a Day.
I think I pulled up his name on the internet to make sure I had the right person and the right song. But that song is like the only one that came up. It's like it was like a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, exactly. And he was a one-hit wonder from the standpoint of that's the only thing that charted. But right after that came out, they put out I'll Do It For You and Step by Step. That was all in 67. And I think One Table Away might have been 68. And there were a few more. There were at least 3 more after that. He did a version of I Stand Accused. And but it just nothing hit.
And even after the movie, it didn't, cause like a resurgence.
You could argue that that's why he got later, deals of
maybe,
but for the most part, no. He just sadly, couldn't get arrested, so to speak. And
wow, that's and amazing.
He went to Southern University in Baton Rouge, and he was working in the music industry behind the scenes. And so then it was Stan Lewis, who owned, Paula, and Ron was one of the labels, gave him a contract. And Stan was one of the biggest mail-order R&B record sellers in America. I mean, it was huge. And so he certainly had the ability to get something heard, and he put out at least another half dozen singles, and it didn't do anything. And then, like I said, 88, he does the Hairspray deal.
Yeah,
lip
and he's
syncing.
So good in that movie,
oh,
too.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good part in that movie, yeah.
So that was the deal. But, Nothing Takes the Place of You, and he wrote it. I say that because that there's money in that when you actually write the songs,
right.
you get some good royalty on that, and he is not.
And nobody else sang that.
Well,
song
no,
either.
That's the thing. It was covered mostly.
Oh, it was.
Oh, yeah. Mostly as album cuts and things like that. But, if the album sells, it doesn't matter that it's just a cut. But sure, he, there were Asleep at the Wheel did it. They have a country version. In fact, they put it in 76. I've got that. It got to the 30s on the country chart. And Prince Buster. Oh, man, I love Prince Buster. Prince Buster is a Jamaican artist. I should probably get his version of Nothing Takes the Place.
I would love to hear hear that. Yeah, I like this.
Yeah, no, my favorite thing by Prince
Reggae music and stuff.
Dance, Cleopatra Dance. But but I don't think Prince Buster's with us anymore. I think he died about 10 years ago now. Because, boy, Jamaica certainly took it today. It was not pretty.
No, it was awful.
Well, and a lot of people are saying, gee, why isn't there more on the news? The reason there isn't more on the news is we don't have the information yet. There's virtually
no... it's heading to, Bahamas and...
Well,
Bermuda
as far maybe you know, right now
maybe.
It's on,
yeah,
it's
right
on,
now it's, what
it's
it,
on
yeah.
its way to Guantanamo Bay. But the deal with this hurricane is that, and it's a Cat 3 again. You know, when they hit land, they immediately start to soften the impact. But what's happened after it got the other side of Jamaica is that it its eye is forming again really strong, which is not a good sign. It's a Cat 3. It very well may be Cat 4 when it hits Cuba, and it's moving so slow it gets to pick up more water and all that kind of stuff.
Right. And there's so many poor people in Kingston, you know.
If you look at some of the pictures that have been out there, there's a website, and as I was saying, there's very little on the news about it, sadly, but there's a website, supportjamaica.gov.jm, which has some pictures on it at this point that residents have put up there. And, you know, you can see things that just look like nothing but rubble. But remember, some of these places looked like nothing but rubble close to it before this, you know, as far as building codes and all that. It's not... not a pretty thing, but
and I've been to Jamaica several times.
Okay, yeah,
but never to Kingston. But you to get to the beautiful hotel, you pass a lot of
That's right.
Poverty. It's
tremendous,
really
tremendous poverty, and so you know, it'll certainly take its toll on Cuba. What happens after that will be interesting, because I could see anything. By the time it gets to Bermuda, if it's actually unimpeded, it could grow again. No doubt about
True.
That. They talk about it going by the Bahamas, and every time I hear that, I think, well, yeah, because there's a lot of Bahamas, but it's not like going to be Nassau and Freeport in that area. It's
right.
Sort of like closer to the Turks and Caicos than that, is the way it's planned to go. And yeah, Bermuda's a possibility, but boy, that's not close. People don't realize Bermuda...
And that's unusual, isn't it, Bermuda... I thought was sort of out of the...
Yeah, Bermuda's off the coast of North and South Carolina, yeah. Well, the whole storm is somewhat unusual as far as that goes. Very slow, certainly packed a wallop as far as that is, so it's going to be interesting. But I didn't realize there were 25,000 tourists on Jamaica that hadn't evacuated. So, because I just saw that, like I said, on that website that I mentioned this.
Well, maybe if they're in the, you know, if they're not around the Kingston area, maybe it won't
touch
them.
So it was
much.
Pretty bad.
All over?
Yeah, it really.
Like Ocho Rios and.
Montego Bay and all that. Yeah,
yeah.
You know, you're close enough. And Jamaica, you know, you've been there. It's not big. So, I don't think there's an area of Jamaica that would be untouched. But I was surprised to read about like 25,000 tourists, because of course, you know, we heard about all the evacuations and all that. But I guess not. But it was one of the stories that came out saying that they were doing their best to protect, you know, all the tourists. I'm like, tourists? Why are they still there? So, and then again, I say that, but maybe they couldn't have gotten out easily.
No, that's true, too.
So,
you know, I used to be, years ago, I was a travel agent, and I had I went to Jamaica for the day.
Uh-huh.
They had a special for travel agents.
Uh-huh.
All we had to pay was $12.
There you are.
To, for the taxes.
Right.
And we got to go there for the entire day. We left very early in the morning and came back very late. Fabulous.
Oh yeah. No, and there's also as you know, there's also private resorts there, you know, a lot of vacation clubs and stuff like that. But I guess it's hitting Cuba right about now. So, and whether it made it back to Category 4 or not, I don't know. But it, you know, after it got through Jamaica, the winds were like down to under 100 miles an hour. So, but, right. You know, who knows what'll be. And the storm surge, of course, and the rain after the fact. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. It has been a very interesting storm because the water was so warm. And mm-hmm. that made a big difference. So, you know, there could be a lot of flooding in Cuba. That's certainly...
And you're right, they don't really show much on TV.
No, because they don't, see, and a lot of people today just in passing ask me about that. Well, why aren't we hearing anything? Well, you're not hearing anything about it because I don't think there's any cellular infrastructure right now. One of the hospitals has no power, mm-hmm. maybe none of them do, I don't know. So you're not getting the information yet. I think that it'll be a few days before we get any legitimate information. So, the CEO of the cell phone network on the island said his team was sheltering in place and the infrastructure damage was considerable. Fiber breaks among other things. So,
even the Weather Channel was really only showing.
Well, because I don't think they send anybody.
No, they probably don't. Yeah. You know,
usually they send somebody and then they show the same block where the damage is the absolute worst, and they show it from 40 angles to make it seem, you know, like an entire state is underwater. But no,
they show the reporter standing like in the middle of it.
Oh yeah, yeah,
he can barely stand up
with a slicker on. Yes.
Yes,
I know. Yeah, give me the early days of the Weather Channel when that first started out. It was hilarious. I'm sure it still is.
Really? It was, yeah.
But so you've got Black River Hospital, which is no power. Some parts are absolutely of town are absolutely underwater. But you know what I would hate to be right now is doing logistics for the cruise lines, because if you take a look at it, there are tons of cruises that are in that area. And obviously, Carnival announced they're not stopping in Montego Bay. You know, really didn't need an announcement for that. They're also not stopping at the Grand Cayman or Turks, and instead they're going to Mexico, Honduras, Belize, and Nassau. All right, Nassau. Well, maybe that's on the way back. I don't know, but I think that you've got so many of those cruise lines there because, as you know, as a travel agent, people who want to cruise and don't have a lot of money, the best thing to do, go to the Caribbean. You can get short cruises for very affordable prices.
Absolutely.
So consequently,
and I've been on one before where the weather was so bad that we had to dock.
Yeah.
And for days because it was so bad.
Right. And then they don't let you swim because they have to drain the pools and on and on.
Oh yeah. Nothing's open because you're docked.
Right.
You
exactly.
can't gamble or anything like that.
Right. So you're there in your stateroom, which, unless you ordered a suite is about the size of a linen closet. So, John showed me a picture earlier of the cruise lines in the Caribbean because we have some apps that show you everything that's everywhere. And it was dozens and dozens and dozens the ships. Well, of course, it's the Caribbean. Of course it is. Well,
right.
So I guess they're all CNN said they got the information from Carnival, but they reached out to Princess and Royal Caribbean and Disney and everybody else, and nobody else has responded as yet. Well, I think they're busy.
Probably, I would think.
Yeah.
Could you imagine, though? I always feel bad for people when it's their very first time cruising and they get stuck on a ship like that.
I'd be looking at it like, that's terrific, we get entertainment. But you're right. For most of those people, they're going to be thinking, this is the last time I'm on this cruise.
Oh, yeah. If the ship is bouncing around like it was when I was on it, most of the people aren't going to do it again,
right,
which is a shame.
Yeah.
Because I always liked them. But that was years ago. They're not the same anymore.
Well, they're really not from the standpoint. Now, years ago, the only cruises I did weren't really cruises. To go to South America, the Pan American Grace Lines, they take 12 passengers. They were cargo ships. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are.
Okay.
All right. And we'll pick it up there on WGN Radio.
Each night when watching dying of the day, I seem to find I hardly know my way. I don't know. to see me, and harder still when someone tells you. She wanted someone else that I couldn't be. You're bringing me down.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, this is embarrassing. So yesterday when we talked to Steve in Frackville, Pennsylvania, he requested Grapefruit, Dear Delilah. I said, I don't think I've ever heard that record. Well, not only have I don't know, maybe I never did hear it, but I own it. And, 1968 on RCA. Yes, absolutely. Well, maybe I should listen to my records more often. I don't know. So we're talking to Lisa in Dundee. And, the thing that amazed me about the cruise, I'm glad you brought this up because I didn't think to mention it, is everybody had always raved about food. The food on a cruise is just wonderful. The food was not that good at all. It wasn't terrible, but I wouldn't call it. Now, we went for the, private dining, so to speak, the luxury dining, because there was no way I was doing a buffet or sitting at a group table in a dining room. This was not going to happen.
Those travelers get really crazy at those buffets.
I don't do buffets. I don't do group tables. I don't meet new people. I always say, I'm sorry, I know too many people already. And I'm completely antisocial, which is hard to believe considering what I do for a living, but I am. In any event, I did the luxury dining, if you will. And again, it wasn't bad, but anybody who would say, man, this is great. And I talked to other people, not on the ship, but people I knew, and they said, oh, yeah, it changed about 20 years ago. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it used to be.
Well, they don't even have a midnight buffet anymore, do they?
I have no idea because I wouldn't go near the buffet. Just the word bothered me. But they do have 24-hour room service.
They
have little, places like a little pizzeria thing that, and it said it was the best pizza on a cruise line. Well, my God, I'd hate to see the rest of them because I'm firmly convinced this was Cheese Whiz. I don't know it for positive, but I'm pretty convinced it was. John came in and said buffet ended at 10. He went up there. It was up there on the pool deck. I didn't go anywhere near
it. Well, there's a lot of fun on the pool deck.
Yeah, well, that's good. I'm sure people enjoyed it immensely. So, and there were two pools. One was indoor and one was outdoor. So as far as that.
So you and John didn't participate in like the newlywed game
No. Well, as
you
I
didn't
was
play bingo?
No. As I was mentioning last night, why I picked my obscure Motown theme, I did make the mistake of going to the Motown trivia contest. It was all Burnout number one records, and they didn't even play the Marvelettes, who had Motown's first number one song. So it was just, I guess what was most mind-boggling to me is there were people there who didn't know them. You know, it's like burnout after burnout after burnout, and they're, oh, I didn't know that.
But you could have cleaned up if you played along.
No, you don't get anything. They don't give you anything. And the other thing afterwards, when they were revealing everything, they had slides, and they had typos in the slides. No.
Was this your only, it wasn't your first big cruise, was it?
Well, it was my first commercial cruise. I say,
it was.
The Pan American Grace Lines were wonderful. They were, Panagra Airways, which is Pan American in the States. They would do cruises, they weren't cruises, they would do ships, cargo ships, and they would allow 12 passengers. And
that's nice.
I later found out 12 is a magic number because if you had more than that, you had to have a doctor on the ship. And apparently some of the cargo ships were doing this until COVID hit. So it existed. But this was the lap of luxury because it was just 12 of you. Now, you weren't getting a pool and bingo and all that,
but you were
getting amazing food and you ate with the captain every night. So, that's not really a cruise. So, yes, I don't like I won't fly. I don't fly commercially.
Yeah,
you are not getting me on those things. Now you can add cruises to that list. So
that's a shame.
No.
It used to be so much fun, but you're right. It's a good 20 years since I've been on one, and they were just
Yeah.
You know.
Embarkation was insane.
Yeah.
It was almost a 3-hour wait. And I realized that was unusual because apparently the government ICE or something had some deal or some people on the previous cruise that had come in from the canal. You know, I don't know.
Oh, dear.
But nonetheless, they had absolutely no provisions. So it was crazy time. And I thought, my God, this is like the airport lines on steroids. This is unbelievable.
Isn't it still a pretty good way, though, to see Hawaii rather than
Here's the interesting part. If somebody like me is cruising as a transportation mode, it's not a very good one. Because, after all, I don't care about the 5 days you're at sea. I'm not planning to do anything except stay in the stateroom and order room service.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to partake of that, it's terrific. But to me, if you're willing to get on the plane, if you'll do it, which I won't, if you're willing to get on the plane, just, you know, check into a nice hotel and spend 5 days at this island and 3 or 4 days at the other island. That was another thing that was disappointing to me. Hawaii used to have, for not very many years, but it had a super ferry, which went to every island. And it was great. Except environmental concerns shut it down, so they claim. And now the only way to get from one island to another, you're going to fly there unless you take, say, an island cruise like Norwegian NCL does an island cruise that starts, say, in Honolulu and goes around to the various islands and comes back.
That must be the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, they do that, and that's a 7-day cruise, so it's fairly short. You're not spending a lot of time, but let's face it, other than Honolulu, how much time do you need? You know, these are, you know, unless you want to look at nature more than I look at nature. I guess,
how long was your cruise?
It was 17 days.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, 17 days.
Oh, that's like 10 days too long.
Well, but that the 10 days, the 5 and 5 are the open sea.
Yeah.
And
I know.
If you like the idea of the, you know, the experience, then that's great. Again, I did not mind this because I was perfectly fine. The Wi-Fi, I did, you know, people said, why did you pick Princess? There's only one reason, trust me, they had the best Wi-Fi. Because I looked at everybody, you know, from the upscale luxury lines on down. And supposedly Princess had the best Wi-Fi. Now, it was not great, but it was, you know, I'd say 90% of the time, 95% of the time, I was connected. Might not like the speed, but I was connected. So considering the open sea and they were using Starlink, I give them, you know, bonus points for that. But that's the only reason that I chose Princess. The rest of it, I didn't look at it at all. It's just, oh, that much. So I had to take the premier package to get that kind of Wi-Fi. So that's why we did the specialty dining every night, because after all, we paid for it. So
yeah. You know, and then the food's not even that great.
No, you know, it's all right.
But you could order something else if you didn't like what you got.
Well, no, I mean, it was like the Crown Grill was a steakhouse, and they gave you basically a choice of 7 items, you know, as far as the entree. And, you know, so I had filet mignon every night. But I was very big on shrimp cocktails. And the other dining was Sabatino's, an Italian restaurant. And there again, they had some things that involved a lot of shrimp, which was pretty good. And the lasagna was okay. But I don't know. I'm not saying it was bad. I'm just saying that for all the rave reviews I heard about the food, and, oh, you're going to gain weight and you won't believe this and yada, yada. No, it was okay.
Did you go 17 days without a Mexican Coke?
Well, yes, I did. But interesting you mention that, because cruise lines are not good at soft drinks, because they'll have ice that has somewhat melted, and then they'll put the fountain drinks on top of that. So, of course, by the time you get it, there's absolutely no carbonation at all. So I pitched a small fit about that, and I managed to get cans of soda. Now, this was the most interesting part about those cans. The first day and a half, I said, these are bitter. There's something wrong here. And as I started to investigate it, the cans were not for sale. They were for cruise ships and airplanes only. And they were bottled in South Africa.
Oh, boy.
And it just was off the mark. Now, that was the first half of the cruise. The second half of the cruise was just good old, you know, American bottled or American canned, in this case, Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
So it was all right. But obviously, the package include unlimited drinks. Well, the only drink I'm going to have is Coca-Cola. So, you know, they made a fortune off of me. So,
sure.
You know, because I'm not about to start drinking at this late stage of the game. But they did not have any Mexican Coke. No, they should have, but they didn't.
They should have.
Well, yeah, but I don't think this was a crowd that was probably going to be clamoring for it the way I was. They probably didn't even notice this was a South African bottler, but it was only about 12 hours before I glommed onto what the problem was there. Yeah, and then it was 5 days before I could...
Well, you brought all that luggage with you. Couldn't you have...
I'm so glad you're mentioning this. They x-ray the luggage. Now, not only do they're looking for contraband. Now, they consider things like the Mexican Coke to be contraband. You know, you're allowed to have a cooler where you can have six cans. But anyway, but what they're looking for more than anything is they're looking for any power adapters that have surge protectors, because that is verboten. And they'll tell you that it's because they're afraid of fire or whatever. Oh, hogwash. Here's what they're afraid of is the way they're wired. The surge protector can fool the circuitry into thinking there's a fault, and it can actually knock off the power to a floor or whatever. So they don't want to mess with this. No surge protectors. All right, so I got that. Fine. I didn't have a surge protector of any sort. You know, I had radios and I had plenty of, USB hubs and... extension cords without surge protectors. But so here are my 10 pieces of luggage, and one of them isn't there. Well, I get a note on the door that says my piece of luggage has been embargoed for potential contraband. So I have to go down to the fourth floor, and I get there, and there's a line of a lot of people, obviously. So I see my luggage, and it's got big masking tape on it. And on the masking tape is written the word kettle. So I get up there finally. Now, what it is, they obviously go ahead and x-ray your luggage, but if they see something that they think is contraband, they won't open it without you there. That's why you get the note. So I'm down here, and I said, kettle? What the hell do you think, that I'm going to brew tea in this room?
Well,
kettle, that's calling for room service if I want something like that. So anyway, I assured them I had no kettle. But they had to look, and they looked and determined I had no kettle, and that was it. I said, you don't think I'm taking this piece of luggage to that stateroom. You are. Get it there now. And they did, you know. But
An experience.
Yeah, right, but kettle. So I'm still laughing. I tried to think what in that luggage could have appeared on an x-ray to somebody, we'll get to who doesn't speak English, somebody to think it's a kettle. And nothing fit that bill. So
that's what they meant?
Yeah, kettles are illegal. You can't have kettles in the room, like, you know, or anything that would be a heat source. Yes, they thought I had a kettle. You know, I'm like,
hello?
You got the wrong person. There will be no kettle in my luggage, I guarantee you. So that was the kettle. But in summation, if I had to say the one thing that caused me the most... I won't say concern, but the most frustration is the staff doesn't speak English. And I'm hearing myself back at myself, so I don't know what's happened to Lisa here. So, and anyway, I will let Lisa go, and hopefully she'll call again soon. But the staff thinks they're speaking English. So I was saying about the fact there had to be a stop to a foreign country. This was the way that these foreign registries can have all their crew, none of which is subject to our wages and all the U.S. protections. So not a person on this crew, not a one, is a native English speaker that I could find. Yeah, maybe there was somebody from Ireland that I missed or something. But for the most part, everybody thought they were speaking English, and I have absolutely no idea what any of them said. And so after about 4 or 5 days, I looked at John. I said, you know, in the event that this thing is going to sink, we are never going to have any idea what instructions they might be giving us, because they might as well be saying it in Latvian. So anyway, that's the end of my cruise. End of story. All right, so I did it. But and I'm making it out like it was a horror. It wasn't. I was happy to do it. I was thrilled that John loved it. And as I said, I didn't mind it. I really didn't. I didn't mind it at all. And, you know, so a good time was had by all in one way or another. Well, other than the Motown trivia. All right, so we'll hopefully get to more of you coming up in moments right here on WGN Radio.
I move your picture from my wall, and I replace them, both large and small. And each new day finds me so blue. Nothing takes the place of you. I read your letters one by one, and I still love you when it's all said and done. And oh, my darling, I'm so blue, because nothing, oh, nothing takes the place of you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that is Toussaint McCall for Lisa in Dundee. And yeah, it was on Ron, 1967, and you can see him doing it on Hairspray in 1988, which was set in 1962. But it doesn't matter. It's still a great song, no matter what. And yes, he wrote it, and truly a one-hit wonder. Interesting how stuff happens like that. All right, so 888-876-5593, and I see we are really going to run out of time. So I'm hoping that Eduardo and Dave and Paul will call us back tomorrow night. But Jim in Richmond gets the closing words, and we'll start now, but we'll probably finish tomorrow night. So, Jim, there you go.
I have a lot to say to you, but since there's only so much time, have you heard of what was on John Williams' show today, Human View?
No.
It's a new apparatus that magnifies it, what you're trying to read.
Uh-huh.
And he said that he looked into it for his mother, and then he was suggesting it today. And I tried to go on my phone to look it up, but there was a big, big white square in front of the site saying that I had to sign up for cookies, and I won't do that.
All right. So, is it maybe Human Wear rather than Human View?
Human Wear. That's
okay.
It.
Human Wear. Wear. Yeah.
Right.
Well, I'm there now, and I don't have to sign up for anything. So, you know, usually on those cookie things, you can also say you don't want them, but they're very often you can have a choice.
Right, but this was just a blue square saying click here, and I wasn't going to do it.
Okay.
So, all right. But what did you find on there? Because
While we're speaking, there are a number of things. What's the device for which he was talking?
He said that it would read whatever you wanted to read, and it would read, you know, you could see it, but it would magnify it so you could see it. And then he said there was another option where it will read it for you. You know,
right?
And I guess they have other devices too.
They have a number of devices, but I'm not going to lie to you; none of them are cheap.
Well, that's what my question was.
Yeah, no, none of them are cheap for the most part. I think it's definitely going to be by the time you're done in four figures.
Four figures.
Maybe 1,000, but I mean, it won't be 200 is what I'm saying.
Right. So, I understand that.
So, and it depends, but I'm looking, like, I see some that are as much as, more than 4,000, but I also see some that look like a pocket-sized video magnifier for 845. But, ultimately, mm-hmm. what we need for you is not anything that's going to magnify. It needs to be able to read things. You need to be at a point where
right.
you're not trying to use your vision. And so,
right. I have that app. I have that app on my phone.
Right.
I click on it and it'll read the mail, but let's just say they don't say it the right way.
Well, yeah, that's going to be the case. But there's a number of other apps that probably do the same thing that might be
right.
more pleasing to you. But I don't know. I don't know what particular device John was referring to, but I do think it's going to set you back some coin. But call me tomorrow night.
Right.
I'll look further into it. We'll talk about that and what's going on with your family and everything else. So thank you.
You're right. Okay.
All right. Good deal.
I thank you very much.
Absolutely. And Dave, we'll talk about jobs and Eduarda about vinyl. Ooh, like vinyl. And Paul in Iroquois wants to talk about Hawaii. Yeah, I'm no expert, but happy to share what I don't know, so to speak. And on that note, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for listening and, if you did, for calling. And apologies to those we didn't get to. But tomorrow looks like 3 big hours and smooth sailing, so we'll pick it up 21 hours from now. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.